We'll be in the book of Ephesians this evening just for a little while, in chapter number 3. Ephesians chapter number 3. And just going to read two verses, chapter 3, verse 20 and verse 21. If you would like to stand, I'd invite you to stand in honor and reverence of God's Word. I know we do this on Sunday morning, but no, reverence His Word. Ephesians chapter 3. And these are very familiar verses, but I want to read verse number 20 and verse number 21. The Bible says this: "Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." All right, I'm going to pray. Father, thank You, Lord, for this gathering. Lord, thank You for each one that's come out to be here in church tonight. I pray that You just bless each one in a very specific, very individual way. Lord, show us if we have a need. Comfort us where we need to be comforted. Maybe convict us where we need to be convicted, Lord. And I just pray that Your Word would go forth and do that which You sent it to do, and for the purpose wherewith You gave it. And we just thank You again for the opportunity to be here, for the songs we've been able to sing, and the fellowship already. And now we just pray, God, that You'd bless the reading and the preaching of Your Word, that You would be glorified, that we would be helped, and we'll give You the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Thank you. So, of course, we see here Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus specifically, and then, of course, to the church of God, church of Christ. And we see many things here, but what I want to zone in on is this, what we sang about is God is able. And I know we know that, and we know that God has all power. But there's a couple of thoughts in here that I want to bring out this evening that kind of struck me as I was studying through here. I like how the Holy Ghost moved Paul to write the explanation or the definition about what God is able to do. He said, "Unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think." Now, he could have simply said, and again, we know that Paul or someone that was helping him wrote these words down, but we know that the Holy Spirit inspired them to do so. I have notes here on this piece of paper, and I used a pen to do that. And so I would tell you, I wrote these notes down. Well, the pen actually wrote them. I just used the tool of the pen to put them down. Yes, Paul or someone else wrote the words that, you know, we see, but they were just the tool. And the Holy Spirit wrote. But we would have understood what was being said if that said, "Now unto Him that is able to do all that we ask or think." We would have understood that. It would have made as much sense. But I like it that the Holy Ghost makes sure that we know that our God is an exceeding God. Amen. He is an abundant God. He is able not only to just do what we ask or think, He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And so I saw that, and I think it's interesting. Again, God does not waste words. If it's there, it needs to be there. And so I think we ought to pay attention to that. So it says, He's able to do, "Now unto Him who is that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask, above all that we think, according to the power that worketh in us." So the same power by which God is able to do exceeding abundantly above anything we could ever ask, above anything that we can even think to ask, that same power worketh in us. But the glory is not ours, because He says, "Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus." So the power that we have in us is by Christ Jesus that worketh in us. and the glory is seen in the church throughout all ages, world without end. And so, I began to think about this word, the actual word think. Above all that we ask or think. And I know that many prayers have been answered. I know that we have prayer requests and many prayers have been answered over the years and even in just this church and in our lives and our family. So many prayers God has answered so many prayers and done so many things. But I just got to considering how much more could God do if we would ask. So my thought is, don't limit God. Don't limit God. And say, well, God is limitless. God has no limits. God is all powerful. He has no limits. But do you remember when Jesus? Maybe someone can tell me the name of the town. But the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was on this earth, went to a city. I don't think it was Capernaum, but he went to a city, and it said that he could not do many mighty, wonderful works there. Right. Why? Because of their unbelief.
Right.
He said he could not. I want us to look at something in the book of Psalms. Psalm 78. And this is an account of the history of God's people, of the children of Israel. How they tempted God in the wilderness and all of those things and would not keep his commandments. But I want us to see in Psalm 78, I'd like to look at verse 38. Psalm 78 and verse 38. And again, this is a lengthy chapter, but it reaccounts of many of the things that took place in the wilderness, in those days of wandering. Actually, verse 37 says, "For their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant." But verse 38 says, "But he." I'm grateful for that word, "but," many times in the scriptures. Verse 38 says, "But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath." Aren't you grateful for that? That God does not stir up all his wrath when we fail him, when we sin, when we don't recognize his goodness. Yea, many a time, it says, many a time. And did not stir up all his wrath. Verse 39. "For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and" what? "Limited the Holy One of Israel." They limited him. And so we read there in the book of Ephesians that we serve a God and we have a Savior. We have a God that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or above all that we can even think. But I wonder, and this is not I'm not accusing, this is just food for thought, you might say. Is there a time, or are there times, where we limit God from doing what he could do or is able to do? When we read there in the book of Psalms, it's a recounting of the history of Israel, and they failed God, and God would supply their need, and he would deliver them, and he would save them, and he would do wonderful things for them, and they would rejoice. But a few days down the road, things would get hard again, and they would fail, and they would murmur, and they would complain, and God's wrath would be kindled and stirred, and he would bring judgment on them, and so on and so forth. But if we think about the things that they saw, the deliverance out of Egypt and how all that took place, and just that whole contest with Pharaoh, the plagues, and I mean, we read about it and we kind of read through it, and yes, that happened, but can you imagine being there when the whole earth is covered with flies? Amen. We get a few in the house and we go after them with the fly swatter and with the spray, but can you imagine? They're crawling in your nose when you're trying to sleep. Frogs in everything. You open the cupboard, frogs come jumping out. And we really think about what God did to not only show Pharaoh and the land of Egypt, but the entire world that He is the God. He is the only God. And they saw those mighty, wonderful miracles that God did. And we wonder how they could ever not believe God could take care of them. And when it comes down to it, they were just, when they come to the Jordan River, I mean, they are just moments, steps away from the promised land. Amen. Where God is going to take them into the land. They are just miles, basically, away from that land that God has given them. He has promised to them. It's within their grasp, and they will not go. And they had to wander. And many of them died. That entire generation died. Did not get to see what God had for them. We have not seen those types of things necessarily, but we have seen God do some wonderful things. We've seen healings. We've seen many people saved. That's a miracle in itself. Amen. We've seen the things that God has done. But many times, those who see the mighty works of God will not let God lead them to the promised land, so to speak, like the children of Israel. They limited God, and He could not do the things that He wanted to do. Not that He wasn't able, but it was that He was not allowed. And that kind of sounds weird to say, but they did not allow God to do what He wanted to do. And so as we see, again in the book of Ephesians, we have a God who's able to do anything. Amen. How much do we really, and so I want to look at this word in verse 20 of our text in Ephesians chapter 3. The Bible talks about above all that we ask or think. And this really began to sink into me the last little while here. How much do we really think about God? Now, I know this generation is much different than the previous generation and the previous generation than that generation. But our society today pretty much, and I think it's intentional, and I'm not going to get political, I believe it's spiritual. Our society today has most people in a place where we don't have to think. We don't have to think. We have everything in our hand in a device. I mean, have you ever gone to a grocery store or a convenience store and you hand your you know, what you purchased was, of course, most people don't use cash anymore. But have you ever seen someone in their 30s, 40s struggle to make simple change? Or struggle to do simple math? We don't have to think anymore. And our days, I say our, but the world in general, our society, the United States especially in general, it's our days are consumed by phones and TVs and computers. And I understand that that's necessary for business and those types of things. And even in life in general, those things are for in large part necessary. But it keeps us from really thinking about things. Considering, pondering. That's a word you don't hear anymore. Ponder. I mean, and meditation. Now, meditation is not some Middle Eastern thing. That's not meditation. God talks about meditation. Meditate on the Word of God. That's sitting down, taking time, getting quiet, and just thinking on God. Amen. And just thinking about who he is and concentrating on what he's done and what he's able to do and just falling in love with him over and over again. We don't have time to do it. And everything in our world is pulling us away from that type of thing. Going out in the woods or going out somewhere in a park and just sitting down and being quiet and just thinking about God. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. How much do we think about what God is able to do? How much do we really spend time thinking about God? And again, I'm not accusing, and maybe you do take time and do that. And praise the Lord if that's so, but how much do we really think? And how do we think? How much do we think about how powerful he is, about what he's done, what he's still able to do? I want to look at a verse in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. And probably many of you can quote this verse, Philippians 4, 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, by the way, all of these things exude from God. If anything is right, it comes from God. If anything is true, it comes from God. If anything is pure, it comes from God. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on those things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So he says, first of all, we need to think on certain things. And there's the list there. Think on these things. And then when we do think on those things, he says, do. God is still able to do the miraculous, the indescribable things that he's always been able to do. Amen. You know, I think probably all of us are frustrated with our country and the shape it's in. But you know, I have not given up that. I have not thrown in the towel, because God is still saving souls. God is still at work. There are still people who love the Lord, who are trying to do right. And you know, we don't know where this is going to end up. We know, well, we do know where it's going to end up. We don't know how soon. I think so many Christians have gotten to the place, and I'm talking about Bible-believing, sincere, born-again believers, have gotten to the point where this place is so dark, this world is so dark, that we're just going to tread water until the Lord takes us home. And, you know, we are to look for His appearing, His glorious appearing. That's our blessed hope. We are to look for that. But I think we do an injustice to Christ and to the gospel if we just we give up and we say, well, this country's done, this world is done, and we're just going to sit back and just, you know, waste away until the Lord comes and takes us home. Whether he comes, you know, we die, or the Lord comes in the cloud and takes us in the rapture, we're just going to sit and idle until he comes. No, that's not what we're supposed to do. We still have a responsibility, even though it is dark. But you know, there have been dark times before. There have been dark days, even in our country before. There have been dark times. But God is still able. But are we asking Him to do something? Are we seeking Him? Think about what God might do in your personal life, in your family, in this church, in this community, in this city. Think about what God might do. And then ask Him to. Maybe think about what you might like to see God do. I know You have talked, some of you talked about your family, children, grandchildren, sisters, brothers. What would you like to see God do for them? If you can think it, God can do it. Of course, He will work within His will and He will work within His time. We understand that. And we might ask God to do something and God's answer might be no. You know that. Sometimes God says yes. Sometimes God says no. Sometimes God says not right now. But think about what you would like to see God do and ask Him to do it. A preacher was preaching years ago, and I don't remember who it is now, but he said, if you're going to pray, pray specifically. Pray specifically. If you have a need, pray specifically. If you've got a bill that you've got, you know is coming due and you can't pay it, and it's $876.97, ask God. God, I need $876.97 by this date. God, I need your help. I want to pay it. I want to do right. I want to be a good steward. You've got a loved one who's in sin and they need to be saved and they need to be rescued. Pray about it. Pray specifically about it. Pray by name. Think about what you would like to see God do and then ask Him to do it. Our Lord and Savior, throughout the Gospels, many times He says, ask. Amen. Now, I know the dispensational part of that. And I'm not going to argue that with you, but the Bible still says it. The Lord says, ask, and you shall receive. Now, we might not receive it maybe the way or when we thought we would. But He says, you have not because you ask not. Now, I don't believe in this name it, claim it, you know, and all that type of stuff. I don't believe that at all. But the Lord Jesus Christ did give us some principles. If you pray anything in My name, the Father will give it you. Now, we don't command God and we don't demand that God do things, but we can ask. And we can think about it. And we can ask Him. God is able to do what we can't do, and God is able to do more than we even think or know He can. You know, in the Sunday school lesson this morning, first thing, there are a lot of people that don't believe that that literally happened, that Jonah was literally swallowed by a fish or a whale, whatever, and that he lived through it and came back on dry ground. But we know it did.
Amen.
Why? Because the scientists and the non-believers and the scoffers are only looking at it through their little microscope. And they don't take into account that there is a God that can do anything.
Amen.
They will not even negotiate on that, most people. But God is able to. He can do more than we even think He can. But God can do more, as I said before, many times than most Christians will allow Him to. We can limit God in what He wants to do for us. So I want to ask all of us, myself included, what have we recently and sincerely and purposefully asked God to do? Now, I know we have prayer requests. On Sunday morning we have prayer requests. Wednesday night we have prayer requests and we ask people to pray. But I'm talking about you and me. As individuals, in the quiet of the morning or in the quiet of the night, what have I recently, sincerely and thoughtfully and purposefully asked God to do? I read this somewhere a long time ago and I wrote it down here, and it's just a simple thought. The Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ created, right? He's God. Through Him, nothing was made that was, you know, all, no, everything was made, that so on and so forth. Without Him was nothing made that was made, right? So, but He's through with creation. He's not creating anything new. There's nothing new under the heaven. He finished the work at Calvary. He said, "It is done." He finished the work there. He says he goes. He went away and he told his disciples, he said, "I'll go away to prepare a place for you. Amen. I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Amen. He's doing that. But do you know he's waiting to answer our prayers. He's waiting to answer our prayer. I'm going to look at a couple of other verses before we finish and before we get to the final thing. 1 John 3 and verse 22. Well, I'll read verse 21 also. 1 John 3 verse 21. The Bible says, "Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son Jesus Christ and love one another as He gave us commandment. And he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him. And hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given us." Amen. Then again in chapter 5, in verse 3 of 1 John. Let's just read verse 1. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth Him that begat loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous." If we love God, His commandments should not be hard to keep. You know, when I first started seeing my wife, Betsy, I would have done just about anything to make her happy. And still, not just then, but still, I'd do about anything to make her happy. But you know, when I'm you're gentlemen, when you know you love that girl, you know you love that woman, and you know that you want to spend the rest of your life with her. And maybe you've got a certain way that you dress, or a certain way you wear your hair, or something. If she were to say something, at least in those early days, when you're trying to court her, you're trying to win her over, and she were to say, "You know, I really don't like that hairdo that much." If you really loved her, you might be willing to change that thing. Now, you might negotiate on her, so on and so forth. You get what I'm saying. It's not grievous to do that. It's not a real big problem to change a few things. If you know that it's going to make her happy, because you want her. Amen. You want to be with her. And so those things are not grievous. Now, when you've been married 30, 40, 50 years, or 10 or 15 years, and she says something like that, you might say, "Oh, well, I've been doing it too long now. I'm just going to keep it the way it is." But when you love someone that deeply, it's not grievous when they ask you to do something, or it shouldn't be. The same way it is with God. When we love God, verse 3 of 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous." That means they're not overwhelming. It's something that we should be willing to do. God wants to answer our prayers. God wants to work in our lives. God wants to do the things that we desire Him to do. As long as they're right in His eyes, they're right in His sight. But as we read over there in chapter 3, whatsoever we ask in verse 22, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. When we do that, and when we are living for the Lord, and when we are keeping His commandments, following His lead, obeying His will, obeying His word, we're showing Him that we love Him. And when we ask, as parents, as a father, as a parent, it was much easier for me to give my kids what they wanted or what they asked for when they'd been being good, right? I mean, if you've been out tearing up stuff and leaving my tools lay around and, you know, I can't go find my hammer when I need it because you left it out in the garden or whatever, you come and want $5, I'm going to say, well, okay, go find my hammer. Or no, you lost a $20 hammer. I'm not going to give you another $5. You know, that sort of thing. And I know accidents happen and children are children and so on and so forth. But when children are obedient and faithful and respectful, it's much easier to give them what they want and what they need. And so it is with God. And I believe He sees it that way too. Because as He dealt with the children of Israel, as He's dealt with the church, as He's dealt with me, and we read here, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight, whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him. Again, we might not receive when we think we should. We may not receive it the way we thought it would. But when we ask, there will be an answer and we will receive. So, I want to challenge us to, in the midst of all of the technology, in the midst of all the noise, so much noise in this world. And by the way, there's so many things going around us that we don't even see in the air. And by the way, our adversary, the Bible, God tells us He is the prince and power of the air. The things that are going in and out of our brain at all moments of the day. So many things. But if we can get away from all the noise, all the distractions, and just think on God, think about God, consider Him, and then think about what it is we really want God to do. Personally, what we really would like God to do, something specific, something purposeful, and then ask Him to do it. Then He said, try me and see if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Amen. Try me, He said. Amen. Try me. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. Amen. Father, I thank You, God, for this time tonight, and for these people, for Your word. And Lord, I thank You for the challenge that You've given to me and to all of us, Lord. And I do pray that You would help us to all, no matter where we are and how long we've been saved and all of those things, but help us all to have a closer walk with You even more and more every day, God. Lord, we do live in a crooked and perverse generation. We really do, Lord. We live in a dark, dangerous world. But God, You are the same as You ever were. You've not changed. Lord, You've not changed Your position. You've not changed Your ideas. Lord, You've not changed Your will or Your word. And we take great comfort in that, God. And we know that we can look to You and stand upon Your truth and stand upon Your power. Now, God, I pray that You would help us, Lord, as we head back out into this world this week. God, help us to be obedient children. Lord, help us to be servants. Help us to be ministers of the gospel. Help us to be faithful to you. Help us to love one another, God, and pray for one another. And for all of these things, we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.